We're here in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Jim McGovern, the chairman of the Powerful Rules Committee and one of the great heroes of January 6th in terms of keeping the American democracy alive. Jim McGovern, you have announced that you have certain antithetical feelings towards some of your colleagues who have not been where they should when it came to the discipline that is needed to put a stop to some of the antics of the anti-democratic folks. Please.
Yeah, look, I understand all there is to understand about politics. We all want to get reelected, and I think a lot of my Republican friends believe that their political fortunes are still hitched to Donald Trump. But there are some things that, that are more important than politics, like the country. And the people who attacked us on January 6th wanted to overturn the results of a legitimate election. They want to overturn the will of the American people. And, I don't have a lot of sympathy. In fact, I have some raw feelings for those people who, in the aftermath of the attack, still went and voted to nullify the election. I want to ask them, like, aren't you concerned about your legacy? Like, I mean, if I get it, you might you fear losing a Republican primary, but you just basically tried to undo our democracy. And how do you justify that? And it's really hard because to do that solely because of political ambition is really, really disheartening. And there were people who voted that way that, quite frankly, I thought were better than they were. So it's hard to deal with that reality. And yet we have to move forward. And that's what we're trying to do.
OK, so let me ask you, what effect has this pandemic had on the American experience in terms of the economy and the downturn and food insecurity?
Well, the pandemic has had a huge effect. I mean, food insecurity and hunger is at an all-time high. Lots and lots of people have lost their jobs. You know, I've been handing out, food boxes and been at events with the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts and other food banks and food pantries from my district. And you see cars line up. And a lot of times you see people who are driving pretty decent cars lined up for food. They probably live paycheck to paycheck, but they've lost their job. They've spent down their savings, and now they're having trouble putting food on the table for their families. That's a reality in this country as a result of this pandemic. We've all known people who have lost their lives and people who have died alone, which is heartbreaking. Our cities and towns are cash strapped. I mean, they're contemplating, laying off first responders or teachers. And, there's small businesses have struggled and restaurants are in difficult shape. So, look, this has impacted every aspect of our country. And that's why the American Rescue Plan is so important, because it is basically a way to help struggling people and to help struggling businesses and to help struggling cities and towns to get through this and to be in a position where we can thrive again. And I'm really proud of the American Rescue Act. It's the most progressive piece of legislation that I've ever voted on in Congress in my entire life. And it's going to help a lot of people. And I'm really proud to be part of this.
You've been dealing with Nancy Pelosi in a way which most people don't, because there's 435 people in the House of Representatives, a lot of Democrats, obviously. What's it like? What's it like talking to her? Can you give us an insight?
Yeah. Well, look, I love her. I mean, she's an incredible leader. She's a strong leader, very disciplined. And look, the Democratic Party is very diverse. If we were in Europe, we'd be about 15 different parties, right? So having to corral us all together and to get us to be able to move forward on important pieces of legislation like the American Rescue Act are not easy. But she's a proven leader, and she's a skilled leader. And quite frankly, she's the leader we need for this moment in time. And as a person, she's just really wonderful. I mean, she calls all the time to check on my family and how my wife's doing, my kids are doing. I mean, she's a regular person. She's a mother and a grandmother and, somebody who, has a very large and and wonderful family as well. So I think the world of her. I think she'll go down in history as being one of the greatest speakers to ever serve in the United States Congress.
Well, I agree with that, but there's been talk about her not running again. I take it you would object to her stepping out now.
Look, we all, at some point in our careers, we all move on, right? So nothing is forever. But I think she's been an extraordinary leader who has the energy and the stamina and the political skill, the likes of which not too many people up here have. And I know she irritates the extreme right, but she irritates them because she's effective. And we need effective leadership now.
You were in the position, you told us, of calling for a hunger czar last time we spoke. Has there been any progress on that?
No, we haven't, but we're still working with the administration. I mean, one of the challenges is that not all of Biden's nominees for cabinet secretaries and agency heads have been approved yet. I mean, there wasn't a transition, and you know, we had an insurrection, and we have this. We had an impeachment trial. We have this emergency, and so we're trying to move forward as quickly as we can. But you know, my hope is that once everybody who needs to be in place is in place, that we will be able to move on some of these things. You know, not only a hunger czar or a food czar, but also we need a White House conference on food, nutrition, and hunger to get to the point where we're not just managing the hunger problem in this country, where we're actually solving it. And that goes to issues like increasing the minimum wage, make sure that work pays. It goes to a whole bunch of issues in our healthcare system, in our schools. I go on and on and on. But we need to look at this issue more holistically. And it's my hope that we can get this administration to buy into it. I'm advancing a piece of legislation that would give them the authority to do this and provide them some resources to be able to put this together. And my hope is that we'll be able to announce something in the not-too-distant future.
Okay. Very quickly, because I only got a minute here. You are chairman of the Congressional Executive Commission on China. Do you think, I'd like you to keep it fairly short if you can, but do you think that we're behaving ourselves in terms of developing a coherent Chinese policy, or do you think we're making mistakes?
Well, I think the mistake we're making is not putting human rights at the center of our China policy. What the Chinese government is doing in Hong Kong, crushing a pro-democracy movement, is appalling. They have Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang, basically working in concentration camps, doing forced labor. How they're treating the Tibetans is totally unacceptable. So what we need to do is we need to develop a policy that focuses on human rights and that has targeted sanctions, not that punish all the Chinese people. But, for example, in with regard to the Uyghurs, we shouldn't be getting goods from that region that are produced with forced labor, you know, that are used in the production of our clothing. So we should be telling our companies that they cannot be buying products that are made from forced labor, things like that. But human rights ought to be at the centerpiece of our policy in China.
Jim McGovern, we love talking to you. Massachusetts is so lucky. Your district, the second beautiful district in Massachusetts, so lucky to have you. And you are a great hero as far as I'm concerned. And thank you so much for spending all this time with us. So appreciate it.
It's great to be with you all. Be safe.